But all the same, how's everybody doing? So earlier I was doing a episode, and I guess I don't know where the sound really broke or where it did. Still trying to get my the sound, you know, situated here where it sounds good. All over. Everybody, of course, you know Lincoln. He is in the house as always.
What is up, everybody? How you doing?
Man, what's up, Link? How you doing? What's going on today? It's,
Well, you know, I'm just chilling. Thanks for the mic, Dad. I really dig it. What's everybody doing? So we're gonna read about Myrtle's Plantation. I know that we started on it.
Yeah, we did earlier, and I guess the sound was off.
Your sound was off? Shit.
Okay, yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you know, honestly, if
this movie's a bitch.
Oh, God.
Five times in a year, goddamn.
Really?
But if there's things that are knocking me around.
Really?
Yeah.
Well.
Dude, sorry, dude, I'm out, brother. I
gotta go. Yeah, you done? Thanks, Linky. He's still mad about the whole UFO thing, you know? Well, if anybody listens, does anybody listen to my to No Avail Astronomy podcast? Me and Lincoln, as you know, we are cruise the cosmos with our UFO, and man, we find out everything, and then we, you know, beam it all back to the astronomers and of the Earth world and tell them. Yeah, I mean, it's totally real. But yeah, so we took a small break, not long, not big, not a small break from the astronomy world because, you know, we were just finding out too much. The government was starting to get into, you know, honestly, it was when Lincoln crashed the UFO. He went up and he tried to take a selfie of himself and post it on Facebook. Like, I wouldn't see it. I tell him all the time, dude, I don't mind. You know, if you use the UFO, he took a selfie of himself and posted on Facebook. And didn't think that I would see it, knowing, but, I mean, you know. But I did. Coincidentally enough, don't know if it was just a coincidence or just the UFO happened to be erect on the right side. But, you know, we're not. But, you know, we're not pointing fingers. So we decided that we're going to. I have to use the car for a minute, and we're going to go around the United States checking out old haunt. Well, you know what? Mysterious. It could be anything. Mysterious mysteries. Bigfoot or Loch Ness. We haven't made it to Loch Ness yet. I love Scotland, but it's going to take a minute. Our car is, well, we're having issues with the leaking part. Yeah, we got it about 5 miles out into the ocean. We had to turn back. We were treading water. I didn't know what to do. Lincoln, you know, he gets really freaked out when he gets real nervous. And I'm...
Speak for yourself, shit!
Yeah, I tell... Lincoln, don't cuss on here, man. Please? Thank you.
Well, I just mean... God, I mean, whatever. You know what? If I don't cuss, nobody cusses. No cussing on here, that woman, okay?
Oh, thank you, Lincoln. Also, I found out that...
What?
Oh, thanks, Lincoln. God, you... Yeah. I'm glad I have you, Lincoln. I'm glad. Anyway. So I was doing this... Oh, yeah, so we started doing this. Okay, and it's... I have a blast doing it. I have a lot of fun. I try to make it entertaining, but... Please, 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 if anybody wants to call in and tell their story of, well, we started this podcast of, like, you know, cryptids and, you know, which are just monsters that have not, well, they're a species that haven't, with no scientific background, you know, they, like, you know, Bigfoot or Loch Ness or Bentley or myself, you know, things that are there, you know. Like, let me tell you, okay, there's something weird going on with somebody. Something tried to donate to my crowdfunding page. But it was, I don't know how to explain this. It was really weird. Because it was like from my own, but it's just, I've never made up. I don't understand. It was like from mine, but it wasn't from me. I didn't do it. So that's kind of what this whole podcast is about. How just weird occurrences that you can't really quite put your finger on, but there's something not right. You know, when you see a figa out of the corner of your eye and you look over, but nothing's there, or you know, you see an apparition just walk through the wall. I mean, it's just, you know, shit like that. That's what this whole thing is about. And please, if man, I am all ears. I'm going to make it more interesting. I'm sure my voice is annoying enough. And I, you know, so I invite everybody and anybody to call in. George, I want to say, what's up, man? He's got a badass podcast on here. I dig the shit out of him. I don't know. I need to get a hold of him. All the Podbean people on here, I love the Podbean pulpies on that I ran into. It's all super great dudes. Shep and Caps and Crazy Lady. Everybody, you guys are all awesome. I haven't really heard from anybody, but I don't get out a lot, even on, you know, here, on everything. Also, if you have not, follow us on here. Check out my crowdfunding page. I'm having issues on sound, but we go around and we're trying to, I'm starting to talk to people about, you know, their experiences. But it's getting to where it's costing me a little bit too much, but, to be able to do, but, I'm trying to get a fan base, behind us, you know, to make it fun. So yeah, I want to go around and meet these people still and talk to them about their experiences with Bigfoot or the Yeti or depending where you are, or aliens, encounters. That's another thing. I miss, you know, anything that has to do with mysteries, you know what I'm saying? Ghost encounters, people from the future, people that fell in the rabbit hole and broke their ankle. I just, you know, I'm not going to tell you why that's funny. So, moving up on. Oh, by the way, I wouldn't play music that's not yours on here. Spotify, I think, booted me because I was playing a Sidded song. Don't do that. Okay. All right. Lincoln, moving on.
It's about time. Jesus. Okay, go on, man. Go on.
Myrtle's Plantation, a blast from the past. Like I said, I tried to do this earlier. Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and boasting more than 200 years of history, the Myrtle's Plantation, you know what? I don't know how loud that is, so I'm just going to do that. Yeah. I don't want to talk about it. The Myrtle's Plantation is a beautiful and sprawling old home in St. Francisville, Louisiana. Now used as a bed and breakfast, the mansion has seen its share of drama, including romance, death, and even murder. What better setting for a good old Southern-style haunting? Man, I gotta say, that's about what I... Oh, yeah. Hey, thank you. I see you. Yep, you in the front. What is up, man? And then we got Lincoln. That, oh, he just likes to just hit the button. You know what I mean? Like, thank you, Lincoln. That's what I think, too. Tales of tales to tell. In 1796, David Bradford built what would eventually become the Myrtles Plantation on 650 acres of land about 30 miles outside of Baton Rouge. At the time, the house, which was originally known as Laurel Grove, was much smaller than it is today. In 1834, Ruffin Sterling purchased and remodeled the plantation, doubling its size and renaming it after the many myrtle trees on the property. Well, they don't make sense now. Over the years, many people lived and died at the Myrtles Plantation, so it's not surprising that the place is now home to a few restless spirits. Whether it's strange noises, disembodied voices, apparitions, or reflections in a haunted mirror, plenty of paranormal activity can be found at Myrtle's Plantation. Wow, that's definitely for a yay. In 2005, investigators from the television show Ghost Hunters... did I do that? Hey, don't be mean. Paid a visit to the mansion and documented several strange phenomena. Is it phenomenon or phenomena? Because it's not important. Thermal imaging video cameras recorded the torso, oh my God, of something not really present, as well as a shadow that appeared to be moving up and down. Holy shut up. With the Lincoln, I was talking to Lincoln and myself. Thanks, man. Thank you. The team also caught the unexplained movement of a lamp across the table. Over the course of a few minutes, it moved several inches with no help from anyone in the room. And that was... If you visit the Myrtles Plantation, be sure to check out the Myrtles Mirror. It is said to reflect the spirit of someone, not something, someone who died in front of it. People have repeatedly seen handprints on the mirror and orbs or apparitions and photos of it. On the internet, it's got to be real. Although many stories say that the images, God, I can't get this, sorry, I'm sorry, that the images belong to one of the plantation's early owners and her children, all of whom were poisoned. The mirror was actually brought to the house in the 1970s, so it's definitely real. If it is indeed haunted, the ghost may not have been from the home originally. A Spirited Place. Chapter 1. Well, several ghosts are commonly seen inside the house that cannot speak right, blah, 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 like my voice. Yeah, no. One is thought to be a French woman. Again, French. Okay, we'll go with that. Not German. A French woman who wanders from room to room. Another is a regular at the piano. That's awesome. Unfortunately, this spirit only seems to know one chord. It's like, that would be me playing Beauty. Yeah, I mean. Thanks, Lincoln. Yeah, no. Yeah. What cricket thing one more time, Lincoln? I swear to God. It's almost like I'm trying.
What do you want me to do, man? You told me to hit these buttons. You told me to do. What do you want me to do? I mean, I have to do every fucking else.
Don't cuss on here. All right, man. So, a piano playing one-chorded French woman. I don't think they all go like that, but... So, unfortunately, this piano player only seems to know one chord, which is heard over and over and over and over, stopping suddenly when anyone walks into the room. A third... is the ghost of a young girl who only appears right before thunderstorms. Now, I think that that is bad ass. Now, I'm not sure. Shut up, Lincoln. I'm not sure. Yeah, I mean, if I were going to be a ghost, I would want to be one that's going to pop up right before thunderstorms. As I was saying way earlier, I was going, especially in Oklahoma. The spirits of two young girls have also been seen playing outside on the veranda, and guests have also felt their presence at night while lying in bed. Sometimes, not always, but sometimes, visitors feel pressure on the bed, as though someone is jumping on it. That's a lot of pressure. I mean, you know. Soon after, people report seeing the spirit of a maid who appears to smooth the covers. Well, I mean, I'd let him do that. You know what? I'm going to leave that one just blank. Another young girl with long curly hair has been seen floating outside the window of the toy room. She appears to be cupping her hands as if she's trying to see inside. Well, that's one way to do it. Hey, when that happens. Some visitors report seeing a Confederate soldier on the porch. Others have seen the spirit of a man that warns them not to go inside. That's always comforting. I hate it when that happens, like really. Many people have glimpsed apparitions of slaves doing their chores inside the mansion. I'm going to leave that one blank as well. And two other resident ghosts that are certainly entertaining but have little connection to the plantation's rich history, as they know, are those of a ballet dancer clad in a tutu and a Native American woman who appears naked in the outdoor gazebo. Now, I'm going to leave that blank as well. Yeah. The ghost of William Winter is also said to haunt the mansion. Winter lived in the Myrtles Plantation from 1860 to 1868, and again from 1870 until his death in 1871, when an unknown assailant shot him as he answered the door. Is that why they warned you not to go in? By some accounts, he staggered back inside and died on the 17th step of the staircase, where his slow dragging footsteps can be heard to this day. Wow. We're going to go inside there, aren't we, Lincoln? Chloe. Perhaps the best known ghost at the Myrtles Plantation is that of Chloe, a former slave. I bet she is. Her spirit is thought to walk between the main house and the old slave quarters. People describe her apparition as that of a slender woman wearing a green turban. As the story goes, David Bradford's daughter, Sarah, married Clark Woodruff, who, it is rumored, had an affair with a beautiful slave girl named Chloe. After annoying her station in the main house, Chloe was upset when Woodruff ended the affair. When he later caught her eavesdropping, Woodruff became enraged and cut off her ear. God damn, that sucks when that happens. It is said that she wears the green turban to cover the scars. It all makes sense. Two versions of the next part of the story exist. One has Chloe seeking revenge on Woodruff by poisoning his family. The other says that she poisoned them to secure her position as a nursemaid and nanny, so that she would be needed inside to nurse the family back to health, and therefore she wouldn't be sent to work in the field. Our woman. In other case, Chloe allegedly crushed up lander petals and added them to a cake she was baking for the oldest daughter's birthday. Clark Woodruff didn't eat any of it, but his wife, two daughters did, and they soon died from poisoning. The other slaves, fearing punishment, dragged Chloe to the yard where she was hanged. Legend has it, her ghost can be seen in the yard and wandering through the house in her signature headwear. At least it's not underwear. Just kidding. Shut up. I know. Yeah, it makes me, you know. It's a great story, and it's easy, you know, to see why it would be repeated and possibly twisted, you know, a bit each time. But researchers who have dug through the old court records have found no evidence that there ever was a Chloe. There's nothing to suggest that a slave by that name or anything close to it ever lived at Myrtle's Plantation. So what's the big deal, man? I'm just kidding. And although death records show Sarah, which Woodruff, and two of the children did die young. All the deaths were attributed to yellow fever, not poison. Well, fuck you, Lincoln. I'm just kidding. You didn't lay down? Take. All right, yeah, you do that. Yeah, well, if you do.
Wake me up if there's anything going on. I need some shut-eye, man. Beauty rest.
You do that, man. I got this. You're good. Where was I? Oh, yeah. So there you have it. Myrtle's Plantation is rife with ghosts, but we may never know exactly who they were in life or why they're still attached to the mansion. Chloe may or may not have existed in the real world, but you never know what you may encounter at one of the most haunted houses in America. Well, I wasn't sure, but you always have the, unhealthy mansion or stories of, houses all the time, but it's always like a lady in white, or the ubiquitous lady in white, or the weeping woman in gray. I mean, so there I was, sitting in the empty hallway, when all of a sudden, I felt like a cold wind was blowing through me. I felt a chill down to my bones, and then I looked up, saw a woman in a long white dress, walking down the staircase without touching the ground. Whoa. It's not funny. I mean, I gotta, why is it always associated when there's, women and wearing white? I guess it's because ghosts are white. No color. No one knows why so many ghostly women wear white dresses, or, for that matter, exactly why ghosts wear clothes at all. But stories of ladies in white go back hundreds of years. In fact, tales of some of their spectral women in white that supposedly wandered the forest in New England were among the very first American ghost stories. Don't say. All this time, Today, when paranormal investigators interview witnesses who talk about seeing women in white, they tend to be instantly skeptical. I just was. But these stories didn't just come from out of nowhere.
Oh, they did.
Some say it's an image of ghosts that was created by Hollywood or by Victorian-era novelists. Okay. Wilkie Collins, whose hit novel, The Woman in White, wasn't even about a ghost. However, such stories have actually been common in supernatural lore for centuries. And these spectral women are reported often by reputable witnesses more and more every year. Ladies in white were following children in dark woods, stalking the lonely hallways of old buildings and wandering these streets of small rural towns, long before movies could ever have come up with such images. I don't know. Forever awaiting his return. One of the more venerable ladies in white is the White Lady of the Bridgeport Inn, which was built in 1877 for Hiram Leavitt, his family in the mining town of Bridgeport, California. There, a woman in white has been seen in room 19, so often that she's mentioned on the building's historical marker. Well, read about this room 19, shall we? Well, I mean, if you did. Yeah, I mean, this is like a live podcast. You could say no. Because I'm just going to be honest. Who really wants to hear this? I'm really not like I know how to tell a story with fucking anything behind it. But, man, listen to this one. I don't blame you if you don't. But the most common story surrounding the origin of this ghost is that she was the fiance of a young minor during the late 1800s. And this is how all horrible stories begin. After a particularly good day of prospecting, the miner decided to walk from the room that he'd rented from Leavitt to the nearest bank. Leavitt was in my pocket, which was several miles away, to trade his gold for cash. His fiance wanted to go with him, but they didn't call it the Wild West for nothing. Yeah. The young miner knew that he risked being robbed while carrying so much gold, so he told her to wait in the room. Room 19, I'm assuming, at the inn. Now, so she waited and waited and waited and waited, and even with a bunch of dots behind it, waited. After several hours of listening for his footsteps and hearing nothing but the howling of the wind, she began to fear the worst. Finally, her fears were realized when she heard the news that her fiancé had been robbed and murdered by highwaymen. Always highwaymen. In her grief, the poor woman hanged herself in room 19. That explains it all. You know, there's never anything good. Fuck you, Lincoln. In her grief, the poor woman hanged herself in room 19, which made everything just horrible. She's often wearing a long white wedding gown. Is it often, like sometimes, or often? Connecticut's Lady in White. Yeah. I guess this answered the old ghost blank I was going for. In Easton, Connecticut, on the other side of the country from Bridgeport, is Union Cemetery, a burial ground that dates back to New England's earliest settlers, who arrived nearly 400 years ago. Dressed in a long white dress, a fucking horse, a bonnet, Easton's Lady in White is sometimes seen at the graveyard or on the road outside of it. Which stretches between Union Cemetery and the nearby Stepney Cemetery.
Yeah.
Countless witnesses, includes police officers, so it's got to be real, and firefighters, have reported hitting a I mean, as long as it's a cop, I know it's, you know, well, I guess the credibility that's not there. Have reported hitting a woman in white with their vehicle on the road that connects the graveyard. Well, there you go. I'm going to leave that one blank too. They slam on their brakes when she mysteriously appears in front of their cars, but it's too late. You went right through the bit. I'm just kidding. You know what? Don't repeat that. The terrified drivers hear the dreadful thud of the impact. Wow, what's that? Okay, never mind. Just whatever I said earlier. Hear the dreadful thud of the impact and watch her limp body fly away from their vehicles to the side of the road. Damn. Okay, yeah, well, they pull over, rush to the side of the road, and find nothing. I hate when that happens. You know what I mean? The woman has vanished, leaving nothing but an imprint in the snow where her body landed. What if it's not snowing? Is that rude? In 1993, a collision with her ghostly woman, with the ghostly woman, even left a dent in a firefighter's car. See, the cop, the firefighter. I mean, hey, it's got to be real. It's on the internet. Roadside phantoms that vanish after being hit are not uncommon. Huh. But for them to leave behind such physical evidence is quite unusual, especially from a firefighter. So common were sightings of Easton's Lady in White that paranormal experts Ed and Lorraine Warren, founders of the New England Society for Psychic Research, and one of the first couples to turn ghost hunting into a profession, now there you go, used Union Cemetery as the subject of their 1992 book, Graveyard. You know, okay, I'm just... That ghost hunting thing, it is real. If anybody is like a ghost hunter on here, please, please call in. They're serious questions. I mean, and with all due respect, I mean, it's not that I look, you know what? I do. I believe in really everything. You know, I'm not stupid. Just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. All right, man. Yeah. Hey, man. I wear the dummy hat in the corner. During their research, the Warrens spoke with a man whose late wife had been buried in Union Cemetery. Well, there you go. One evening, while he was visiting his wife's grave, he heard something rustling in the leaves behind him. When he turned, he saw the lady in white looking down at him. That's always the first sign to run. I wish, she said, as he knelt frozen in place, that my husband had loved me as much as you loved your wife. Before he could reply, she disappeared. Hate when that happens. Hate it. Others have seen the lady in white surrounded by darker forms, with whom she appears to be engaged in a heated argument. When she vanishes, the dark shadows disappear along with her. No one is sure who the lady in white was in life, but sightings of her were not reported before the late 1940s, despite the fact that the cemetery dates back to the 1600s. Ed Warren speculated that it is the spirit of a woman who was murdered shortly after World War II. Well, there you go. And that pretty much answers it all. I narrowed down from there. Ed also claimed to have captured video evidence of the lady in white. Ooh, but in 2008, his widow, Lorraine, told reporters from NBC that he keeps it under lock and key because it's so valuable. Well, he's hardly the only person to photograph her, though several ghost hunters have taken photographs that feature strange phenomena at the cemetery. Again, is it phenomenon or phenomena? I don't even think it matters what side of the country you're on. The lady in white may not be the only ghost at Union Cemetery. I doubt it if it's a big cemetery. Many paranormal investigators have encountered an entity. They're known as red eyes. Not brown eyes. Red eyes. Well, which is exactly that. A pair of glowing red eyes that keep watch over the cemetery. Well, the fame of Connecticut's Lady in White has spread throughout the ghost hunting community so much so that the town of Easton has had to take steps to protect the cemetery from vandals. It is closed after dark, and the police vigilantly keep trespassers from entering it after hours. But it's not unheard of for officers to see a pale, glowing form behind the gates in the middle of the night. Well, there you have it. Well, it's on the internet. It's got to be real. Okay, next. Isn't this fun? Aren't we having fun? I'm just kidding. So I really am. Me and Lincoln are going to probably, we are going to go going, I think, what we decide, Lincoln, we're going to go somewhere east. I think we're going to go south and cruise through Louisiana into, I really want to go up and down the East Coast. I love it. I want to go to North Carolina. And obviously South Carolina if I'm headed that way. I never claim to be a smart man. All right. On to the next greatest. We interrupt this program. Man, I remember this. Does anybody remember Max Headroom? I don't know. The kiddos out there may not. But Max Headroom, he was a popular television character introduced in 1985, portrayed by actor Matt Frewer. The fiction artificial intelligence personality was immediately recognizable with his slick back blonde hair, Wayfarer glasses, sunglasses, and dark suit. He even possessed a witty sense of humor and distinctive stutter. But on one autumn evening in Chicago, Max Headroom took on a whole new meaning. And I totally fucking remember this. He was like, wasn't he like the first like AI type of dude? If nobody knows who it, look up Max Headroom. There was this. The first hat. Now he was like the first AI dude, and I think that they got the idea. It was on MTV, I think is what it was. Man, on the evening of November 22nd, 1987. Viewers in Chicago, Illinois, during the live broadcast, just as sports anchor Dan Rohn began covering highlights of a Bears football game, something strange happened. For 15 seconds, screens on television across the city and in the United States went black. Then, suddenly, a masked figure appeared. The figure was dressed in a Max Headroom mask and sunglasses. He was positioned in front of a rotating background that appeared to be corrugated metal, mimicking the television character's striped simulated background effect. The figure bobbed around on the screen while buzzing static played in what you can only be described as an unsettling display. The interruption lasted for 28 seconds until engineers at WGN were able to switch their broadcast frequency. A clearly confused Rohn popped up on the screen, quipping, "Well, if you're wondering what happened, so am I." Rohn picked up the newscast where he left off, and the rest of the show continued without incident. Yet a nation of puzzled people like, "Yeah, what the fuck was that?" but it was. Now, the second hack, this one was, man, I'm pretty sure you could probably still look this up on YouTube. It's really kind of fucking, freaky. But the Max Headroom hacker wasn't finished. 2 hours later, local PBS station WTTW was broadcasting an episode of Doctor Who. Yeah. That's a perfect. At 11:15, without warning, the interloper in the Max Headroom mask reappeared, this time featuring some creepy distorted audio. It's that kind of audio that you hear only when you're going into a different dimension, you know, because everyone's so familiar with that. The figure made a strange reference to WGN sportscaster Chuck Swirsky, sung some lyrics from a Temptations song, and held up a can of Pepsi while reciting the Coca-Cola slogan, "Catch the Wave," apparently a reference to the fact that Max Headroom was a spokesperson for Coke at that time. Find that. I remember this. He also said he made a giant masterpiece for all the greatest world newspaper nerds, a nod to WGN's Paul Letters, which stand for World's Greatest Newspaper. As if things weren't already weird enough, what happened next was even weirder. The image cut to a man with partially exposed buttocks and a voice yelling, "They're coming to get me." A woman off to the side of the screen began spanking the man with a fly swatter in the ass, while he continued to yell, mostly incoherently. Finally, after 90 seconds of the bizarre display, the screen went to static, and Doctor Who continued and returned back to normal. First you ask, who was behind the mask? Well, at the time of the hack, there were no engineers on duty at the Sears Tower, where WTTW maintained their transmitters. I couldn't think of that word. This is a smart one now. By the time anyone attempted to intervene, the disturbing transmission was over. While some Chicagoans were upset that their television show had been interrupted, most just found the incident amusing, albeit very strange. But a spokesperson